Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Bill Ryder on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Filling in for Jim, as always. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. 1-800-636-8686. RomeAtHeavyTake.com. At Jim Rome, JimRome.com. We've talked a lot of baseball today. It's been both wonderful to have the sport back and certainly interesting in a way we had hoped against in terms of some of the positive COVID-19 tests and the pause for some teams on the seasons that we've seen. And Bob Nightingale, the very talented USA Today MLB columnist, is going to help us make sense of it. Bob, hope you're healthy. Thanks so much for making time for us.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
So where are we at? Any news? What's the latest on the Cardinals situation as they try to get a handle on how many folks as a part of that team and traveling party may be infected with this virus?
Well, they're still waiting as we speak. The Cardinals were supposed to take off at 10 o'clock in the morning Central Time to go to Detroit, have a workout at Comerica Park, and then play a three-game series in Detroit for 3 days. But, you know, right now they're just kind of waiting to see whether they go to Detroit or they just go home to St. Louis and miss the entire series. You know, right now there's at least five positive tests. Cardinal players, they're afraid it could be as high as nine. But kind of waiting to test results to see how much it spread. A little worried about when the staff members, they could have spread, you know, easily through him having contact with a bunch of people. So three or four people have already been sent home. Others are staying right there in Milwaukee.
Bob, and obviously this is a quickly moving story. A few days ago, there were reports that the commissioner had told the players' union that if this didn't get under control, the season could be paused. Reports that some of the television partners were advised to at least prepare for the possibility today that they might have to come up with other programming. Right now today, as you talk to sources, what's your optimism level that this season is going to continue and finish?
You know, I really believe it'll very high. I do believe it'll continue and finish. I think it was just a warning to the clubs, hey, make sure you guys are following protocols. I don't think it was ever as dire as, hey, we're about to shut down Monday. You know, I think the TV networks each week almost have TBA just in case something happens. But, you know, they were, MLB was very upset with the Marlins, you know, having 20 people test positive. You know, reportedly a couple of guys had, you know, left the hotel. In the St. Louis case, you know, reportedly a couple of guys, you know, went to a casino, you know, for their mini outbreak, 6 to 9 guys. So, you know, they're just telling players, yeah, if you want a season here, yeah, you got to help us out. And a team like the Dodgers just 2 nights ago, you know, they put in all kinds of protocols saying you must wear a mask on the bench. If you're not in the game, you're in the clubhouse or in the stands. When we're, you know, hitting, the pitching coaches are in the are away from the dugout. When you're pitching, the hitting coaches. So just trying to be as cautious as possible here to make sure this thing can be played out.
Bob Nightingale here on the Jim Rome Show at B Nightingale on Twitter. Read him at USA Today. I'm Bill Ryder filling in for Jim. Bob, as we try to get our arms around how to stop the spread, and as you referenced some of the reports, I think Jerry Harrison Jr. is the guy who first put out there that some Cardinals players had gone to a casino, some reports about some bad behavior maybe with the Marlins. Where does the blame fall if this virus continues to spread? Is it with the lack of discipline by the players, by the fact that the protocols haven't been followed? Is it Major League Baseball's fault? Who's to blame if this does spiral out of control and there's trouble having a season?
Well, I don't think the protocol has been followed. So it's one thing if you pick up your kids or, you know, wife or family members, what have you, you know, that's like, okay, nothing to do about it. Obviously, it's, you know, raging in a bunch of states right now. You know, anywhere from Texas to California to Florida. But, you know, they don't want you to be, you know, kind of a self-inflicted thing and say, you got to be careful out there. You know, don't fall victim to this needlessly. You know, we don't want you going out to restaurants. We don't want you to leave the hotel. Don't stop at the hotel bar. You know, don't even stop at the hotel restaurant. So, is saying, if we follow protocols, we get through this. But if guys don't, and, you know, as Amalin showed, it just takes one team to shut the whole thing down.
Bob, we've seen some different and unusual approaches to the game because it's an unusual time. Seven-inning doubleheaders, runners on second base that some players have loved and some players certainly have not. When we get to extra innings, DH in the National League, among other things, how many of these changes do you think could be permanent whenever we get back to normal?
Well, the seven-inning doubleheaders won't be permanent. That will be done. I think the extra inning rule will be in play, maybe not in the 10th inning, Bill, but maybe the 12th inning. It's a lot of fun behind it, some strategy. Remember doing a roundtable about a year ago with the Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant and the Cubs. And I think it was Anthony Rizzo that said, you know, we have the most boring overtime in the four major sports, which I really never thought of. And I said, you're right. And, you know, you're in a ballpark, and when the 10th inning rolls around, everybody heads for the exits. You know, more people moaning and groaning in the press box, the broadcast booth, you know, the benches. You know, nobody likes it. So at least now you know it's going to end quickly, and it makes it look kind of fun. So I think they'll keep that rule, but just move it back a few innings.
Bob, just trying to get some takeaways from this very so far early part of the season. I mean, for Dodgers fans here in LA, a lot of panic. We were told that Clayton Kershaw was going to be fine, a lot of panic when he wasn't able to make his opening day start. He went to the IL. He looked remarkable yesterday. I mean, he looked so sharp. What's your read on Kershaw and the Dodgers and certainly their goal to try and finally get that elusive World Series?
Yeah, I was at that game yesterday, and he looked like a Kershaw of old. You know, he hit 93 on the gun, and it was amazing that he threw 20 pitches yesterday that were 92 and above. All of last year, he only threw 19 pitches that fast. So it shows you how good he's feeling. As you saw, pinpoint control. Diamondbacks had no chance. So I love the Dodgers' chances. They were my original pick before this whole thing started, and will continue to do so. I like their chances better if David Price was still pitching and hadn't opted out. But still, this team's so deep and talented. I think Betts is a huge difference maker. So I still like that team to win it all.
Bob Nightingale here on the show. Bob, full disclosure, I'm a Joe Kelly super fan now. I'm a free Joe Kelly guy. But regardless where you come down, and we had Jock Peterson on the show here on the Jim Rome Show when I was filling in a few weeks ago, and Jock was a really affable, nice guy. When I asked about the Astros and hard feelings, the mood certainly turned a little darker, right? I mean, it's not a secret, not just the Dodgers, but other folks not happy with the Astros. For how long and how much of this shortened season do you think we're going to see guys throwing at various Astros and the kind of bad blood we've certainly seen a little bit so far?
You know, I don't, Bill. I was at that game in Houston, and it's funny because they Dave Roberts says, well, you know, we know about it. We're not going to forget, but, you know, we're done with it. We've won and win games. And for the first, you know, five innings there, you know, nothing even came close until Kelly ended that game. But I think with Kelly's suspension, you know, eight games, he'll probably get reduced to about five games, six games. But I think that being so steep, it's going to, stop all kind of, vigilante behavior. So I don't think anybody will purposely do it again. I really don't. If it happens, since everybody knows, you know, you might get eight games, but the next guy gets 10 games. And that's an awful lot in a short season like this. So I think that was part of the message, too. I also believe that baseball did that because they're a complete panic after all the guys, you know, clear the benches or were hanging by the dugout. Like, hey, if guys start fighting and throwing punches or rolling on the ground, you know, if COVID started spreading, it would be a complete nightmare.
Yeah, no, I had the exact same thought. That's a great point. Bob Nightingale here on the Jim Rome Show. Bill Rutter filling in for Jim. Bob, we've got an expanded playoffs, which is really interesting, but it certainly changes the first round for every team. Are there any particular squads that you think are at a disadvantage or an advantage because of how short that opening round's going to be?
Well, it's just it gives everybody a shot. I mean, you can be a terrible team, you know, make the playoffs and, you know, say about 500 record, you know, and you get hot there, you got a chance. So I think it really helps the four teams and, you know, hurts the strong teams. I mean, as powerful as the Dodgers are, the Yankees are with their depth, you know, the depth doesn't mean anything in a short season like that. You know, just three games. I don't care if it's, you know, they say, well, whoever has the best record has home field advantage. Well, what's home field advantage mean when there's no fans? So I think it helps out the real underdogs.
Yeah, it feels like if you're – and not that people are crying tears and playing the world's smallest violin for the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Yankees or the Red Sox, but it certainly feels like it's a very temporary but real opportunity for some smaller markets, some smaller market clubs.
It really does. I mean, even teams that had no chance in a 162-game season now have a chance. I mean, look at the Colorado Rockies. They're, 6-2, 7-2, and they – 6-2 – in their starting rotation, you know, got 2.0 ERA first time through. I mean, Nolan Arenado all of a sudden does not want to be traded because of how well things are going there. So if you have a couple of pitchers get hot, you can knock off the big boys. So I think it really helps out the underdogs. In the playoffs, hey, some crazy things can happen. You know, even a guy like Gerrit Cole has a bad game or so, you lose game one, you know, all of a sudden there's a whole lot of pressure.
All right, Bob Nightingale, I really appreciate the time. Great stuff. Thank you not just for the insight, but the optimism. That has at times felt like it's in short supply here in 2020.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Hey, Bob, you too. Bob Nightingale on Twitter, at B Nightingale. Read him at USA Today. Yeah, and I'm a Cubs fan. I, in theory, benefit from the big market reality, but we're the Cubs, so we screw things up all the time. I want small markets to have a chance and make a run. I'd love to see a team like the Padres do something exciting, or the A's finally get where they need to go. I mean, by the way, you know the best thing that could happen to the A's? They'd have to win that series, but the Yankees just losing to anyone. Just the Yanks losing to any, because it's a best of three series. Why don't you just play beer pong to see who advances in the Major League Baseball postseason? I mean, it's going to be incredibly compelling theater. I think it's going to be great for fans. It may be great for the game, but for a sport that is predicated on large sample sizes, right? The idea that you play a bunch of games and then you earn it. I know it's a shorter season this year, but still, you're talking about a season where every game is basically a series. Every baseball game this year, Kershaw takes the mound for the Dodgers or whoever your team is, every game is a series. Every blown save, that dude just lost you 2.7 games. And then you're going to go into a best of three series? It's going to be a nail-biting experience for these big market clubs. And you take the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and whatever highly, highly effective organizations, because of the markets they're in, the money they spend, whoever I'm missing, at least one of those are going to go down, or two. Best of three series. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. All right, 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. Rome at haveatake.com. On Twitter at Jim Rome, jimrome.com. You can hit me up on Twitter, sportswriter, sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. And we just talked about this a little bit with Bob Nightingale, how in times of transcendent change, right, whether it's a war, a depression, a global pandemic that shuts everything down, things change. We've got the DH in the National League, for crying out loud. I mean, that's like cats making love to dogs. What are we doing here? I hate it, by the way. It can change things permanently you never thought, that you thought would be forever. That certainly looks like it's happening with college football. How college football, from this unity movement with Pac-12 players to a possible schism between the NCAA and the Power Five conferences, could be utterly and totally rewritten by 2020. We'll hit that here on the Jim Rome Show. I'm Bill Ryder filling in. When we come back in a moment on CBS Sports Network and CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
You are listening to the Jim Rome Show. Welcome back. I am Bill Ryder, filling in for Jim. Thank you for being here. Appreciate you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts. People you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Bill Ryder with you, sports writer on Twitter, sports R-E-I-T-E-R. Jim off this week. I'll be here today and tomorrow. Appreciate you listening. Phone lines, of course, still open to you. 1-800-636-8686. RomeandHaveATake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. One of the certainties, and there aren't many in 2020, but one of the certainties of what we're all experiencing together with COVID-19 is the world's going to be a vastly different place 2, 5, 10, 15 years from now than it is now. The reality of human history is that when major and disruptive historical things happen, wars, depressions, pandemics, significant natural disasters, things change that you can't even expect. Transportation, how people go about their daily lives, the economics of a civilization, politics change, and certainly sports. And I think we've seen some sort of signs of this in the sports that have gotten back to business a little bit. We just talked to Bob Nightingale from USA Today a little bit about, you know, you got runner on second base right now in the playoffs when we hit extra innings. You got 7-inning doubleheaders that aren't going to certainly last. That's a product of this truncated schedule. You've got the DH in the National League, which I hate with a burning passion that makes me an irrational, crazy, angry old man as long. I get it, but that's my old man on my lawn thing. It's my practice before I get really old and sit on my lawn and yell at kids. That is going to stay. But it's college football and college sports where we might see the most seismic changes and shifts that are spurred on and pushed on by this pandemic. And there's two stories that have been percolating and happening over the last 24, 48 hours that really speak to this. And let me give the context here. This isn't breaking news. But one of the reasons this pandemic has the chance to utterly redefine how college sports work is in large part because the foundation of college sports has been based on a lie for a really long time. The idea that the NCAA is interested in amateur sports is a farce. And by the way, I don't blame the coaches. I don't blame the student-athletes. Student-athletes have something that they want. They want to go and they want to compete in these sports and get an education. And many of them, most won't get there, but many of them aspiring to play at the next level. And that's the route. That's the avenue to do it. If you want to be a radio host, you don't go and sell insurance, right? Like you try to find your way onto a radio somewhere. You want to be an NFL player, an NBA player, you need to, almost without exception, play college football at a high level, and that's your path forward. And for those coaches, many of whom I'm friends with, especially on the college basketball side, I'm not mad at them for making their money. But it doesn't change the fact that the folks in Indianapolis are a bunch of hypocrites. It doesn't. And now that's all coming to the forefront in a very significant way with two things that are going on. The first you may have heard of out here on the West Coast, a group of players put a letter in the Players Tribune from the Pac-12 with the hashtag #WeAreUnited to explain, to say that they, and there are many signees of this, are not going to play football this year if their demands are not met. Now think about that for a second. Think about how many years college athletes could have tried to have withheld their services and therefore withhold hundreds of millions of dollars in broadcast rights. There won't be ticket sales this year, but in years past in ticket sales, in the monetary realities of playing college football. But it's a pandemic that brought it to the forefront. Here's part of the letter. Quote, because NCAA sports exploit college athletes physically, economically, and academically, and also disproportionately harm black college athletes, #WeAreUnited. And according to sources at ESPN, they're reporting the demands of this letter focus on both racial injustice and health concerns of playing. And I think, in fact, I did. I talked about this on the Jim Rome Show a few weeks ago when I filled in, that college football as a proposition in this very unprecedented 2020 doesn't make a lot of sense. Student athletes don't get paid. They don't get paid. And so to put yourself in harm's way, to put yourself in a position where you have some risk, that becomes more galling, more problematic in a pandemic like this one. And then there's a secondary story that speaks to the same thing, how these currents that are going on right now, because of and in connection to COVID-19 in 2020, are going to change things. And this is from Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports, very talented national college football writer. I think Dennis was on the show last time I was filling in for Jim here on the Jim Rome Show. Dennis points out that the NCAA, the folks in Indianapolis, control the championships for almost all the major sports. All the sports, not even major, except for college football, not the FBS system. And that the folks who do control whether or not there's a college football playoff and a champion this year, which are the conferences involved and the television partners like ESPN, they've decided to move forward and have a season and try to have a championship. And the NCAA, according to Dennis Dodd, is going to respond by trying to put pressure on them to change their minds by voting this week, maybe today, on canceling or not all NCAA sport championships they control, which is everything but football. No tennis, no swimming, no lacrosse, so on and so forth. And according to Dennis, the Power Five conferences see this as a power move by the NCAA, as a schism in the making. And reportedly, again, according to Dennis Dodd, if the NCAA plays hardball and says we're canceling everything to put pressure on you to cancel football, the Power Five conferences are considering saying to the NCAA, to hell with you, we will host every single championship of every sport. And that becomes the beginning of the end of the NCAA. And as Dennis writes about over at CBSSports.com, it is a step, a significant one, in these Power Five conferences saying, you know what, we can do it ourselves. There are a lot of folks already around the major conferences in the Big Ten, and the Big 12, and the SEC, and the Pac-12, who believe they could run things better than the folks in Indianapolis. Why now? Why today? I mean, greed's always been a great motivator, right? If you're one of the Power Five conferences and you get together, one of the advantages of breaking away from the NCAA is you control the revenue and the rules. And it's not like the NCAA is this beloved organization where fans would say, no, please don't take away the folks in Indy's control over unpaid college athletes. The Power Five conferences could break away, do their own thing, and probably get 6 months to a year of goodwill, regardless of their intentions. It's the pandemic that's changing these things. You've got athletes on the West Coast, and it's not uniform. You have a lot of folks who have signed on to this. You have other players who have said, hey, this We Are United movement has really great things behind it, but let's slow down the idea of sitting out the season. But the reason you're seeing this is because college sports, more than anything else, has been built on a lie, on the idea that amateurism is real. It's not. You can believe in amateurism, you can be like me and think it's a joke, but you can't argue with the fact it doesn't exist anymore. The minute coaches are making $1, $2, $5, $10 million a year, the minute flunkies in Indianapolis, bureaucrats are driving around in, what's the new hip car? I'm not a hip guy. Teslas? Driving around in Teslas in Indianapolis? By the way, everyone in LA has a Tesla. I'm over it. Anybody else over it? Can you just drive a different... You know how many Teslas almost drove me off the road today on my way here? Three. There's apparently a Tesla dealership in my area, in my neighborhood or something. You know what? I'm just jealous. I can't afford a Tesla. Anyway, the fat cats in Indy driving Teslas all over the place. Nobody has sympathy for these guys. You're going to see all kinds of changes in the world. Hopefully for the better, but we'll see. It's been a crazy year. But the idea that college football was going to be able to continue indefinitely with the system that's in place and college basketball, it's coming to an end. Remember, it was a year or two ago that even Bill Self and Coach K started to say things like, you know, we probably should pay athletes. That, we should be open to that. It is coming. It is going to happen. Whether or not this group of players, who rightfully, by the way, are asking for a focus on racial injustice and who are rightfully asking for a focus on proper health protocols for athletes, whether they get what they want, what they desire, what they push for now, the fact that an entire group of athletes have already put an entire conference on notice, that's a sea change. The fact that the Power Five conferences and the NCAA at the exact same time, think about this, at the exact same time the Pac-12 is trying to get athletes not to sit out the season, they're also contemplating with their colleagues in the other major four conferences breaking away from the NCAA. This pandemic, this bizarro year, is going to turn everything upside down. And I'm telling you, the reality, the long-term facts behind these two headlines, Dennis Dodd's, there could be a schism between, great story, CBSSports.com. There could be a schism between the NCAA and the Power Five conferences. And separate but related headline, Pac-12 players threaten to sit out season if demands aren't met, are because where we are now in our history, in this time, is going to shake everything to its core. And that absolutely includes college sports, because they are not built with the same kind of structural integrity that some of the other sports are. There will be changes, and this is the beginning of that fact. Bill Ryder here filling in for Jim Rome. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to call in, get on the air before we sign off. Rome at HaveATake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. I'm on there, Sports Ryder. Sports, my last name, R-E-I-T-E-R. Little tennis update, because so many of you have asked. I know I saved it for the end, and so many of you just like, Bill, please tell me about your tennis life. So I'll do that on the Jim Rome Show just after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Michael. Hey. Welcome back into the Jim Rome Show on this Monday. I don't know about you, Bill Ryder, by the way, filling in for Jim. I never know what day of the week it is. Like, that's one thing about 2020. I can be sitting here filling in on a five-day-a-week show and think to myself, truly, is it Saturday? I have no idea what's going on as it relates to the days of the week anymore. It's Monday. Question mark. Pretty sure. Happy Monday. Give us a call. 1-800-636-8686. Rome at HaveATake.com, at Jim Rome, JimRome.com. It's time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you, the clones, get to submit a question at CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. For Ask the Pros, here is the question. Of all the professional sports, what's your favorite mascot? That's a good question from Bella B in Calgary. Wow, that's a good one. I'm not a huge mascot guy, but, and I shouldn't pick this team because they're one of the rivals of my Chicago Cubs, but they makes me laugh every time I see it. I'm a Racing Sausages fan of the Milwaukee Brewers. I don't know why. Like, one of the things that I get a kick out of going to Dodgers games and Royals games and Cubs games, Dodgers games in L.A., is when there are inanimate foods racing each other. Like ketchup versus mustard versus, you know, relish. Classic. When relish pulls the upset, nothing like it. And I do enjoy the fame. I think they're the world famous racing sausages in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Ooh, the Racing Presidents. I wanted, you know, I once at an Iowa Cubs game, AAA affiliate of the Cubs in Des Moines, Iowa. When I moved from Des Moines, was working at the Des Moines Register to Kansas City, where I worked at the Kansas City Star, I actually got to fire the hot dog gun. I don't know if it was like in between any. I don't remember. It was one of the great highlights of my life. Firing a hot. No, I didn't. They didn't trust me the T-shirt cannon. And the weird thing about the hot dog gun is if you don't do it right, the hot dog just sort of sputters, and so you're wasting hot dogs. So you're shooting. And it's interesting because I found myself looking to the crowd looking for, like, who looks really hungry or incredibly drunk. That is who I tried to fire the hot dog gun at. Oh, relish. The old relish comeback. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. It has been so nice and such a change to get sports back. Look, I love sports. Obviously, I'm a sports radio host and writer and all that stuff. And you clearly do, too. You're listening to the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network if you're watching it. But I recognize that it's not the most important thing on the face of the earth. It's not. You know, what's going on in this country this year on so many fronts, from racial injustice to the health crisis. You know, folks, all of us, maybe many of you, worried about your jobs. These are the things that matter. But it's also true that when things are taken away, you really appreciate what makes things special. It has been so amazing to have sports back in the mix. And I talked about this when I was filling in for Jim a few weeks ago. Soccer's great. I've enjoyed soccer. But to sit on the couch and to watch baseball and the NBA. And the NBA is amazing right now because you can watch it basically 12 hours a day. In fact, the Raptors are playing the Heat right now. Think about it. It's a Monday morning or a Monday afternoon for most of you. And right now there's an NBA game on. Pretty good one, too, over on NBA TV. Toronto up on Miami by 4. The Raptors are really good. Bill Orem talked about this earlier. I buy it. The Raptors are a legit contender. I'm not sure you want to sleep entirely on the Miami Heat. Great defense, really well coached, nice young core. And is Jimmy Butler a knucklehead sometimes? Yeah, maybe a little bit. Does he get on the nerves of his teammates? Do I talk about tennis on the Jim Rome Show? Yes. Yes, he does. But there's a grittiness. There's almost an anger, like a chip on the shoulder to just the culture and approach of that Heat team, which has always been true. I think it's more pronounced now. It's more embraced as part of who they are since LeBron James left them. Long time ago, but still a painful reality for that Heat organization. Butler fits in perfectly to that. And the fact that it's on right now is incredible. My wife Lori, who's watching right now on CBS Sports Network, as are my kids, so I'm going to do this because I'm hosting. It's an advantage. Love you, Madeline. Love you, Henry. Love you, guys. Thanks for... My kids love Jim Rome. That's a funny thing. They first watched the show, like, oh, Daddy's on. I think it was my son who might have been like, I think Jim Rome's better at this than you. Yes, buddy, he is. There's no reason to bring that into the house, though. I have a Twitter. Is that Kawhi? Oh, poor Kawhi. Good for you. Bucket man gets paid. But my wife said to me the other day, she said, you're so much happier than, like, you've just been exuding happiness. And I thought, oh, am I a jerk all the time around the house? But I asked her why, because, you know, that's what you do. Happy wife, happy life. Oh, that's interesting, honey. Please tell me why. And her read, it's spot on. She said, you've been sitting around watching baseball nonstop and now basketball. It's nice to have these sports back. It's really cool to have returned to, I know life isn't normal, but it feels a little more normal than it used to. Well, I'm not a Bucks fan. I'm not. I mean, Milwaukee, I'm rooting for you, but I'm not emotionally invested in what happens to you guys the way that you are. And yet, watching Giannis be an absolute machine, it would be great for him to get some help beyond Chris Middleton. I mean, Middleton's been awesome and was great in that game against Houston yesterday. But just watching Giannis and feeling like, okay, American sports are back, right? The reigning MVP is doing his thing. And even watching Clayton Kershaw. And to be fair, those of you that play fantasy sports like I do, it's more 2020. Half your team is, but like, whether you win your week or not, and I did against James Ward, who used to work at CBS Sports Radio, now works at SNY in New York, in large part because he had more guys sitting out than me. But I had Kershaw. But watching Kershaw do his thing and the sharpness with which he pitched and with which he played, it was a couple hours of just not thinking about all the tough things that are out there. And I'm not a big believer that I want sports to distract me from the world. I'm interested in the world, even when stuff isn't going particularly well. But we're all interested in a reprieve, right? Sometimes. That's why we read a book or watch Netflix or go for a run or play tennis or whatever it is, whatever it is that you're doing. And it's been really nice to have that combination. I think credit Major League Baseball, Black Lives Do Matter, the shirts, that message on the floor, and certainly you're watching guys on all the sports wear masks, right? It's not like you don't know what's going on. It's like you can watch this sport. Really, it's Netflix or whatever you want to watch, CBS All Access, whatever it is that takes you away. Sports, you can't watch it without knowing what the hell's going on. There's nobody in the stands, and NBA's done a nice job. I actually think the pseudo-cheering virtual fans look pretty cool for the NBA. But baseball's weird, man. Right? Like a guy rips a ball foul down the left field line, and they pan to the ball, and there's not a single person at Wrigley Field or Dodger Stadium. It's bizarre. And yet I found myself, as my wife pointed out, utterly and totally overjoyed by the fact sports are back. It's been amazing. It's been such a needed thing. And so even though it's a little trite, I do think sports are important. I do think they're necessary. It's nice to feel just a little bit of normalcy. And it's going to be a hell of a thing watching both, assuming that they can finish. And the NBA, I think, will. The fact they're in a bubble is such a huge advantage. But I talked about this earlier. Major League Baseball, shortened season, every game is a series. Every game this year is almost worth three. A series in a normal span. And you're going to have a bunch of added teams, a padded postseason with best of three series. It's like Bob Nightingale from USA Today told us 30, 40 minutes ago. Anybody can win that series. You can be the best team in the National League. The Dodgers could end up being the best team in the National League and play some team like the Padres that get in. 97.3 The Fan, Padres affiliate, by the way, we're on in San Diego. Hello to Adam Klute, the program director. And the Padres could win that series. They just could. Winning 2 out of 3 games in baseball is not an impossibility. Far from it. Far from it. That's going to create some remarkable drama. It's going to be unfair. It'll be really easy for me to be philosophical about it if it's not the Cubs. Less so if John Lester or Kyle Hendricks go out there in game one and just get absolutely smoked by the Padres or whoever it is. And then the NBA, the same kind of thing. One of the things that's been a problem for the NBA for a long time, and I think for baseball too, is the certainty when you get to the postseason that the majority of those teams aren't going to win a World Series. In baseball, if you make the postseason, you can get there. But at the start of the year, you also can write off half of the teams in the majors. I'm probably being generous, probably more than that. You can just write them off. You're gonna have a meaningless season. That's not good for the sport. It's just not. Look, I lived in Kansas City for a long time, and I like Royals fans. I like that organization. I think Dayton Moore is an impressive guy. They obviously got a World Series. They had to fail for 7 or 8 years to just get a 2 or 3 year window, and it's not luck per se, but they were able to claim one. They made two, and now they're back in the we'll rebuild. And by 2027, we've got a 20% chance of being relevant for 2 years before everybody leaves. That's not great for the sport. This year's going to feel different for baseball because so many teams are going to get in, and so many teams. It doesn't matter if you're playing the Yankees, if you're the A's, and you're playing the Yankees in a best-of-7 series, you're going to lose. History has taught us that. But a best-of-3, if you catch them in that scenario, I mean, hell, Alvin and Garrett and I might be able to squeak out a win in that series if we were playing. Apparently, Garrett actually played baseball. Game on. I don't know if Alvin played ball. I could see it. Second base. I'm left-handed, and I'm short, so it wasn't a great. I don't have a strong arm. Nowhere to put me. Garrett, I couldn't play second base. Turn my whole body. I did do some first base until we realized that I was just too short for that position. So it was all center field. My point is, anybody that makes the postseason in baseball this year has a chance in that opening series. And the thing about baseball that's interesting to me, in a way that's never been true in the NBA, is that momentum becomes this really crazy thing in the postseason. Teams that kind of sneak their way in, doesn't happen all the time, but we've seen wild card teams. Hell, the Royals were a wild card team the first year they made that World Series against, and I think they lost to, I should never do this off the top of my head, but I will. I think they lost to the Giants, who were also a wild card team who won that World Series. It was certainly a wild card team that beat the Royals in that World Series. And so you have any team, Padres or the Reds or, you know, insert whoever it is. Tampa Bay's a talented team, but Tampa Bay, who has all these great seasons and some success, but they're just in this brutal, brutal division. And Tampa Bay's got great starting pitching. They could easily win a best-of-3 series. Anything can happen. And the NBA, I think, is going to be similar in the sense that, I think Bill Orr made this point. I completely agree with it. It's a deeper field of contenders than we're giving, I think, the NBA postseason credit for. And that's before you get into the uncertainty of how a neutral court's going to affect things. It is. And some guys are going to react better to being in a bubble than others. We just don't know who they are. That's a psychological thing we've never been able to measure before and hopefully never get to measure again. If we can finish the season, it's going to be a hell of a ride. And maybe there'll be some surprises, which would be really, really cool. It really would be. The Nats were a wild card team last year. And how many years has the wild card been going on? 7 wild card teams have won the World Series. Out of what, 25 years? That's an incredible percentage. Because that momentum thing, and it's unique to baseball. Baseball is such a, and this is what, it must just haunt the dreams of people like Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi and all of these sabermetricians. You build these systems of thought and analysis and philosophies based on the numbers and large sample sizes. And it's effective. It is. Billy Beane, of course. And then you get into the playoffs and it's just chance is chance. So like for the Dodgers, they have to get into the playoffs literally now 7, 8, 9 times to just hopefully eventually it comes up 7 the way it's supposed to. Think about that. And that's why you get into that play-in. I hate calling it playoff series. That play-in wild card playoff series, 1-game playoff series, yeah, momentum can take over in baseball because it's such a game of mood and confidence and getting in a groove. By the way, thank you for all the calls today at 1-800-636-8686. Brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges and helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. I don't think the Heat are actually going to win an NBA championship, but if that team made a run to the finals this year, it wouldn't surprise me. And after what we saw from the Raptors last year, anything can happen in the NBA playoffs. And we're going to have injuries. The lack of conditioning is going to catch up with guys when you start to get into this crazy intensity of the postseason. So any one of the many baseball teams that make the playoffs have a chance. And I think, look, put the Rockets in that group. Put a surprise team like a Denver or Dallas. I don't think they'll make the run, but they could. It's going to be a really cool, really exciting series of postseasons for both baseball and the NBA. And I'll take all the good news I can get in 2020. More good news, or at least for me, I think it is. I'm here tomorrow. I'm filling in for Jim one more time tomorrow. My name is Bill Ryder. Appreciate you very much. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging out. As always, it is an absolute honor to have had the chance to fill in for Jim here on the Jim Rome Show. I'll see you tomorrow.